Hello, it's a lovely Monday in Brooklyn. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. The show is called Let's Eat In. And today we're eating in with a couple of cupcake experts, which I'll introduce in just a sec. This is, again, Heritage Radio Network. And today's show, we wanted to mention that New York City's Craft Beer Week is just around the corner, beginning Friday, September 24th, and running through Sunday, October 3rd. To kick off the annual series, Whole Food Markets, Bowery, which is one of our sponsors, is hosting a beer and food pairing event in the Beer Room. Oscar Blues is on tap, and Chef Jacques Gauthier of Park Slope's Palo Santo is cooking up one of his South American delights to accompany. This is a great chef, great restaurant. I love it. Anyway, food tasting goes from 5 to 7. We'll continue till 9 with a craft week, beer week passport. You get $3 off of a 64-ounce growler fill. Meet Chef Gauthier September 24th and enjoy some of his tastes. All right, guys. That sounds like fun. Anyway, we have, as I mentioned, the cupcake. I believe you guys are like known for having the best cupcakes in Brooklyn.
That's sweet.
No, seriously. And I'm looking at a beautiful box right now they gave me. Ooh, yay. Okay, so it is, of course, Robicelli's.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much for having us, Kathy.
Thanks so much, Allison. This is Matt, husband and wife team.
More partners or team, whatever.
Partners team.
Sorry.
There's two people on this team, so I think it makes partners. Yes.
And the kids? No.
The kids...
they help sometimes.
Sometimes. They supervise, and they taste test. And occasionally the three-year-old will put the liners in the pans when he comes to the kitchen. But mostly it's a lot of quality control for him.
Okay. That's a good task for kids to do. What
mostly
else?
Frosting.
Yeah, yes, mostly. Only frosting.
Cleaning up frosting from the spatula by...
I don't...
I make banana cupcakes without frosting. We call them breakfast cupcakes. And like, you know, I'll load them with like...
Oh, that sounds really nice and healthy.
Well, cool. Yeah, you know, you can load them up with other stuff and just say like, okay, you know, it's breakfast cupcakes. And I'd keep them in the freezer for him. And... one day, because I don't like to give them too many cupcakes, because, you know, since we're in the business, it'll stop being a treat and it kind of becomes like more routine. And
like a household object.
Yeah, and I don't want him to be like that. So one day I did bring home cupcakes for him, and he goes to Matt and he's like, look, mommy brought cupcakes. And he's like, yeah, well, we have cupcakes. He's like, no, these have frosting.
He picked off the chocolate chips. Licked off all the frosting and then threw the cupcake on the carpet.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, wait, no. That's when the first time he licked all the frosting off, came back to you and was like, Mommy, need more frosting.
Yes, he said, Mommy, I need frosting. I need frosting to live. This, he says frosting like that and bacon. He's like, Mommy, bacon. I need bacon.
Oh, you need bacon, right? That's what happens when you ban these things from kids and they, like, go crazy.
It's kind of... it's really interesting... Both of us being chefs and having like these crazy palates and trying all this new stuff and having a toddler who will like only eat bread or, you know, he'll like only eat certain things. Like if he has a meatball and has something on it, I have to lick all the sauce off the meatball and give it to him. Mm-hmm. And Matt and her like, this can't be our kid. You know, the little one eats everything, but the big one.
Yeah, but the
like,
little one will eat everything as long as it's whole. I mean, there has to be like, it has to be a whole steak.
Oh.
Yeah, he'll pick up a whole steak and eat like a little
man. Oh, I see. He just likes to tear and, gnash at things.
So, yeah, the just we thought that our children would be more genetically predispossessed to eat just about everything, and it's becoming a little bit of a challenge. But we're not caving in. We're not going to be like, okay, you can only eat chicken nuggets and french fries. Like, pretty much you eat what's on the table, and if not, then you don't eat. And they get around to it eventually.
That's funny. I feel like I've heard of this story before. Like the foodie, the gourmands raise a kid who's like meat and potatoes. Is that like an epic tragedy I've heard before?
We're generally meat and potatoes sort of people.
Yeah,
I mean, we're...
We are, but he eats weird stuff too. It's like he'll eat broccoli, which is, you know, it's not that weird, but he'll
broccoli
eat other
cupcakes.
Yes.
No, but like he'll eat... What was the one thing he ate?
What I thought was weird was a few weeks ago for my birthday, we went down to Princeton for the weekend, and we had Indian food, and Matt, like a schmuck, sees chili cheese pancake on the menu and thinks, ooh, it's going to have chili and nacho cheese on it. So we were really tired, and he comes out, and it's filled with like bird chilies and like paneer, and he can't eat spicy food, and he's like, And now he feels like he has to eat it because this restaurant was kind of almost like these people's home, and it was like a mom and dad coming out. So he's like trying to eat this pancake, and he's crying. He's like, give me some milk. The Indian people are laughing at him. They bring him milk. But then Toby, our two-year-old, is sitting there eating this burnt chili pancake like nothing, and he wants more of it. And I'm like, dude.
Wow, that's impressive.
I was like, your two-year-old is schooling you in front of these Indian people, man.
Yes, but my... Still looking for that chili and nacho cheese pancake somewhere.
Yes.
Super taste buds. That's amazing.
Yeah. Matt's from Iowa, and he's introduced me a lot to like the chili and cheese kind of meat and potatoes world. And
casseroles.
Casseroles. I never had casseroles before. Okay.
Me neither. And you're from New York.
I'm from, right? Well, we're both from Brooklyn. He moved here when he was one. My family's been here since the 20s. So I grew up in like an Italian American household in Diker Heights, Bensonhurst, and Bay Ridge. And Matt grew up in Bay Ridge too, but his family's from Iowa, from a pig farming family.
And before that, they owned brothels.
Awesome.
That's actually true.
It financed the farm.
Cool. So you say you're meat and potatoes, but I feel like in the cupcake world, you go to the extremes when it comes to flavors.
It, you know, what was funny about us is that cupcakes kind of were never really part of the plan for us. We never set out to make a cupcake company. Matt and I were both chefs and pastry chefs specifically for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I was in like my early 20s or mid 20s, I want to say. And I was I had gotten promoted to pastry chef at this fancy schmancy restaurant in the city. And, you know, my family was all ecstatic about coming, and then they said, listen, you know, we can't afford to go to this restaurant, but we're really proud of you. And there was this real, at that point, there was this huge disconnect for me because I'd been working so hard to try to like break into the culinary scene. And this had happened, I'd been in restaurants maybe 6 months and I was an exec. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm working this hard, but my parents
can't enjoy it.
Yeah. And like, you know, people who I am, like blue collar, working class people from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, you know, we don't eat in these restaurants because, you know, you can't afford it. And I was like, that doesn't seem right to me and who I am to only be able to cook for rich people. Like, only good fancy food is a realm of the rich, and the rest of us should be eating, like, you know, chicken nuggets. And that was not right for me. So
the same thing happened when my parents came to the water club. Like, they saved up for a good amount of time to go.
And he was the exec pastry chef there. They got a discount and everything. And still, like,
it's expensive.
You know, and you get to this point, like, is this what I'm doing? Like, and you're not making a lot of money. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm breaking down. I'm like, with all the overtime I'm putting in, I'm making $8 to $10 an hour to cook for rich people. And I thought that everybody deserved to eat well. So Matt and I we started moving our careers into like working into more smaller businesses in Brooklyn, working in gourmet shops, catering, trying to find ways to bring really good food to everyone. And we were having a lot of trouble doing it. I remember taking over my friend's restaurant, which was a bar and grill, and introducing all these doing twists on bar favorites and trying to upgrade it. And people like didn't want it. They wanted like Cheese Whiz and things like that. And one guy said to me, he's like, listen, he's like, Allison, I'm a simple guy. This is what I deserve, simple food. And I was like, that's just not right. So we opened a gourmet shop 5 days before the stock market crashed with the intent of bringing really good food to our working class neighborhood. And it wasn't taking. People weren't getting it. And, you know, we were running cheese classes and cooking classes, and people still were like, well, I don't understand. Like, why should I buy Vermont maple syrup when I can get Aunt Jemima for like $1.50? And I'm like, all right.
The one day when I had a conversation with a lady that she said log cabin was maple syrup.
And you're trying to explain.
And I was
this.
Like,
oh. Or like we opened up
she
the first.
She fought for a good hour and a half.
We opened up the first cheese counter in that part of Brooklyn that wasn't serving just Italian cheeses, and people were coming, going, "Do you have pepper jack?" And I'm like, "No, well, you know, try this stuff." And they're like,
"Cause that's the ultimate cheese."
You know, but they were like, "Oh, I shouldn't pay, like, you know, you can get American cheese for $3.99 a pound. Why am I going to pay like $23 a pound for Humboldt Fog?" And
were you guys discouraged?
Yes, we started getting really discouraged. I'm like, you know, like I had such a passion for it that was instilled by.
I'm eating the banana cupcake right now and it's killing me. Yeah. I love it.
you know, I'd been instilled with a great passion for food really from my family and from this community, because mm-hmm. we'd have these Sunday dinners where my entire family would be there, like my aunts, uncles, cousins, and you'd have a table that sat six people comfortably, and we'd have probably about 30 people every Sunday. And that's where my love of food came from. It was bringing all of us together. And
big family Sunday dinners. Yeah. Love it.
And, you know, we ate well. And, you know, we ate a lot out of my grandmother's garden. And I'm, like, not understanding the disconnect. We're like, okay, we all came, essentially, like, our grandparents came from Italy, where you're eating such great food that you're growing yourself. And yeah. now, you know, we came here and became cops and firefighters and city workers. And what happened? You know, where did this go wrong? So we were getting very discouraged, and somebody came in, one of our old customers who used to order our cakes privately, and asked for a cake. And, you know, he'd never cared that it costed more than, like, getting a carrot cake at the grocery store, because mm-hmm. the quality was better. And he came in 2 weeks in a row and asked for a private cake.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Al, he's like, if you made this cake every day, I would buy a cake every day. And I was like, okay, nobody is making or buying six carrot cakes a day. But I will make one cake a week, and I will turn it into cupcakes instead. And then people are going to come into the store and
grab a bite
and grab a cupcake and go, oh, hey, you have cheese and charcuterie, and jump on the bandwagon. And the gourmet market never took off, but the cupcakes.
And that never happened. Yeah. They just came in, bought cupcakes, and left. But then we started selling like six to... Yeah, 600 to 1,000 cupcakes.
And that's when, after all these years of us trying to figure out a way to bridge that gap between good food and our community, like
cupcakes.
Yes, that was it. It was like, okay, people didn't want the cheese, they didn't want the good catering, but everyone freaking loved cupcakes. And we figured out it was just because, I mean, people love cake.
You found the bridge between.
Yes. Yeah. So we're like, okay, now we have
damn.
This
common ground.
Yeah.
You inhaled that thing.
Is this a peanut butter frosting?
That's
so good.
That's banana chocolate peanut butter. That's called the Funky Monkey. Really, and we're good. Just delivering it to stores today.
It's like banana bread on the cake, but with chocolate chips studded in there.
Yes.
And then this frosting is peanut butter, and has peanut butter or peanut sprinkles, and then fudge. Oh my God, it's
yes.
so good.
I mean, we just decided to start taking the techniques that we knew from working in these fancy restaurants and going, okay, yep. you know what? I'm going to make a dessert that would cost like $10 to $20 in a fancy restaurant, but I'm going to turn it into a cupcake that tastes that's like $2.50 to $3.
Right. Make it fun.
Yeah. I mean, the buttercreams we use, usually only see on wedding cakes or like very expensive event uh-huh. cakes. You never saw them on cupcakes.
What do other people use instead of butter?
They'll use butter, but they'll use an American buttercream.
There's a,
yeah.
Like, ours is a French style pat a bomb, but a lot of people, you know, it takes a lot of time, and you know, I've been doing it for a long time, so I know how to do it quick.
I'm gonna whisk that butter.
And, yeah. No, and get it done really, really rather quickly, because it is time consuming.
It takes like you can an American style buttercream, that saccharin sweet one you see in a lot of the commercial bakeries. Mm-hmm. You just take butter, or I mean, what many of them did until the trans fat law. Yeah, it was shortening.
They still use shortening because now there's a trans fat free shortening.
So then a lot of them use shortening, and then you throw in lots of powdered sugar and food coloring and mm-hmm. maybe some extract, and then you just whip it up. It takes.
No time. It takes like
3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. Ours takes 40 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how much we're making.
So, I mean, when she starts baking cupcakes for, you know, our Thursday deliveries, I will start making the buttercream right at the same time.
Yeah, and they're usually done at the same time. But, I mean, the extra effort was like, it just tasted better. And
you don't skimp on the frosting either. No, you give people lots.
It was kind of funny. I remember the first time a cupcake shop opened in our neighborhood, and I went, I'm like, oh, you know, I've been hearing all about cupcakes. And I went, and I was like, I don't get it. I had one, and I just didn't get it. I'm like, and I kept saying, why can't people make a cake that's moist, or, you know, brush it with simple syrup, or soak it with the liquid, or use French buttercreams? And it took us to do it ourselves to get the cupcake that we wanted, and now I can't eat cupcakes anymore.
So. Okay, now we reach full circle.
I've had like maybe 4 cupcakes in the past year.
try the components of the new ones, but it's just
you have to.
Oh, well, we taste all the batters and the frosting. But by the time you've taste tested everything, it's kind of I guess you've like eaten a decomposed cup or a deconstructed cupcake. Decomposed cupcake is
decaying cupcake.
That's the wrong word. So yeah, we the flavors. We never. I mean, we're gonna start doing chocolate and vanilla soon, but it was like, okay, let's
take... Well, we're not going to do your normal chocolate vanilla.
Ooh. Well, we're going to do, like, Tahitian vanilla bean or Valrhona. But, I mean, it was always, for us, like, when we started dating, this was... We've been together 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were introduced, like, oh, you guys are chefs, you should talk. And we stayed up all night and talked about dessert ideas till, like, 8:30 the next morning.
So that's how you guys courted?
Yeah. We stayed up all night, and he came back to my place, and we read cookbooks. And then the next day was Easter Sunday, and we were on the phone every night just planning desserts and talking about, like, flavors and ingredients. And we were such nerds.
Oh, that is so adorable.
So when we started doing the cupcakes, it was like we started talking about flavors, and it was like dating over again. And by this point, we'd had two kids, we were running a business, you know,
that hardly saw each other.
Yeah, we hardly saw each other. It takes a lot out of a marriage, and it like it totally revitalized our marriage, where we'd stay up all night and go, oh, you know, we should mix this ganache with like this tea and do that
green tea.
Yeah. Mm. So I mean, we have
do we do a green tea cupcake?
Not yet. We have it on the list. I mean, we're close to 100 that we've done.
Do the ginger wasabi one.
Yes. Maybe. We didn't do green tea yet.
Ginger wasabi.
Yes. Crazy. That was a Chinese New Year cupcake, but that it was the I guess what we try to do is think of ideas for desserts we would do if we were still in restaurants, and then we just find a way to make them portable.
Yeah.
So no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, you know, you don't have to go to like, I don't want to name names, but like the fanciest restaurant in town for your anniversary. You could have that one little moment where you have something that's kind of personal, well planned out, and just for you.
I mean, we are I'm happy that the fall's coming around, because then that gives us harder squashes and stuff to work with.
Yeah,
because we didn't do a lot of that last year. I really want to do a lot of that this year.
Oh, cool.
Squash. We work seasonally. I mean, we can't work as super locally as we'd like, because it would just raise the price point too much. But we're very, you know, like when berries are big, we'll do like 2-3 weeks. Just
get into the spirit.
I'm kind of sick of berries right now.
Well, we had three good weeks, I mean, this year.
Yeah, but I mean, we did a lot of berry and cupcakes this summer, and it was just like by the end of this, like, I'm kind of tired of eating.
You said the same thing about apples last year.
I know.
We did nothing.
But that's why I'm so happy that, you know, when it comes around, like, you know, seasons are short now. It's like when you were a kid. When you were a kid, it took forever for the holidays to come around.
Christmas, what is Christmas?
Yeah, exactly.
And now I'm like looking. I'm like, it was like September 13th now? Jeez.
Yeah, I
was like, crap, we gotta buy Christmas presents for the kids soon.
I'm sorry, I'm like catatonic with that. And that was an awesome cupcake.
Thank you so much.
I just peeled off every little bit of crumb and buttercream. Quick question before we skip to a little song interbreak. I just made that up. did you guys ever like imagine that you'd be working as business partners in a marriage before?
No.
It's well, kind of yeah, no and yes. Organically. I think well, it was something.
No, for me.
Yeah.
No, it was something that we'd talked about for years. I mean, the first night we were together, and we weren't dating at this point, but the first night we met, we talked about it. And we'd always been so involved in each other's jobs. Like, whenever we'd come home, we'd talk about what menus we were doing, what was going on in the food business, and input our ideas to each other. And, you know, I learned so much from him all the time. And I hope he learns a thing or two from me, but probably not. he's not even listening to me right now.
Oh.
Nope. What? So
no, but, you know, it's been a challenge because, like, for the last year, we have not been apart almost. I mean, the most is a couple hours.
Yeah, like, I mean...
Wow. And that is kind of a challenge.
It's not a challenge. I am gone for like two hours, and you're texting me all the time. I love you. I miss you all the time.
All right, yeah, sorry to bring up a sore topic here. No, I think that you guys are really, really awesome. Every time I see you, you're like working together, and it just makes me feel happy.
I don't think every married couple can work together, but it works for us.
Good.
Know?
Amen to that. We'll be right back. Jack picked out a song, and be here in a few.
Your body.
we're back on Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're talking to Allison and Matt Roberts.
Robicelli.
Why did I just say that?
I have no idea.
Weird. It has an R. Yeah, okay. Robicelli?
Either or. My dad mispronounces our last name all the time. I think everyone in my family has a different pronunciation of the name. So.
Okay, so I didn't do too bad
then. No, not at all.
Okay, so anyway, they're from Robicelli's Brooklyn Cupcakes. Just a quick mention, Craft Beer Week is September 24th to October 3rd. Also this week, Let Us Eat Local is Just Food's annual celebration of food. Over 25 chefs are participating in it, and it's a great event. There's going to be speakers giving inspiring talks. There's going to be lots of food to eat, and it's all proceeds go to this local, nonprofit organization, Just Food. I was so pleased because a number of people stepped up, or I actually asked them, and then they happily stepped up to donate a gift for the silent auction. And Allison and Matt are one of those people. They're donating a private cupcake making class.
Yes,
we're donating a cupcake class where we have people come in and work for us so I can take a nap.
There'll be a lot of dish doing, and you'll be making some boxes and listening to us bicker, I guess.
That sounds like my kind of class. Just get in there, just
work with it. We've taught at the Brooklyn Kitchen. When did we do that? Like April. And I'm really excited because that was a much bigger class, but this is going to be a lot smaller and a lot more intimate. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we work better if we have a smaller group of people.
Yeah,
and
you don't have to shout or something.
Yeah, and we do so much more than cupcakes. I mean, I know that's what we've gotten known
for. We do sleight of hand and all juggling. Sorts of
you juggle. But yeah, I mean, I was a savory chef. I started in savory.
Oh, really?
And, we used to do everything. I mean, Matt's done the sugar sculptures and chocolate, and we'll do a little bit of everything. So whatever kind of baking you're into, we could work with you and talk about it at the class.
Awesome.
I mean, I'm just kind of excited to hang out with somebody, show them what it's like to work in an industrial kitchen in Sunset Park, and
that'll be fun.
Work a 100-year-old elevator.
I bet you guys get lots of requests for flavor. Can you make a red velvet?
Yeah,
we will never make red velvet.
That's the one thing I'm so dead set against. Because, I mean,
you know what? I might make what the original red velvet is.
Hold on. Okay. Go on. Yeah.
The original red velvet, I'm going to put the story out there so everyone knows.
I think I know
was
what it is.
A beet cake.
Yes, that beet juice.
It was shredded beets. Like, it would make a carrot cake.
Darn it. Okay.
With a farmer's cheese top. And it had cinnamon in it.
So.
But over the years, someone goes, hey, we can make this into a chocolate cake. So they add cocoa powder to it. And then someone's like, I don't like beets. So probably just let's use red food dye. So then that.
You should make the original beet.
We want to, but we're going to wait for the season to come around.
If we could figure out.
I have beets. We have beets.
If we could sell it. I mean, I definitely want to do a beet cake. I mean, a lot of our more adventurous flavors, they don't sell. So you don't see them in stores much.
But red velvet is it crosses the line because people look at it and they're like, oh my god, it's red velvet. Because
and then, but then they're
favorite.
Tasting, they're like, wait, it's not red velvet, because it's a chocolate.
It's a chocolate cupcake. That's like hyped up on chemical
and
dye.
Food, I know, chemical dye. What? I don't know. And people just.
I mean, our thing against.
Don't they get it?
Our thing against food coloring, it's not about health or the environment or any of that stuff. It just seems silly.
Yes.
You wouldn't dye a piece of chicken purple for Easter.
All right, you got to come up with another analogy because every time we do some sort of interview,
of purple
you do the
chicken.
Purple chicken. No, you do purple chicken.
Only those are the first two things that come in my head.
It's going to dye a cucumber green.
Dye a cucumber magenta. That seems silly.
It is silly.
And
yeah.
But you wouldn't do that because that would be gross. Or green beer. That's kind of a little sketch. But then you're like, I'm going to dye this chocolate cake red. Yeah, let's do this. Let's make it match my dress.
People don't realize that's food coloring and. That's all it is, and the massive quantities. It's like a bottle of food coloring.
There's a lot of
that's
red
why it's
dye
so
that goes
I
dark.
Remember watching a show. I'm not going to mention it, but I mean, I was looking at the batter, and I was like, oh my god! I'm like, that is so red. I'm like, I am happy. I'm not a judge.
It's silly.
And have to eat that.
Oh, I think it's also deceiving because it's such an intense color produced because you added a bottle of food dye. makes people think it's really intense in something.
Yeah, like, I can understand what you're saying. Like, you think it's going to be extra flavorful, but it's
or decadent, or it has a lot of high something.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I mean the all natural ones are you can use, and they have all natural dyes.
Are crazy, yeah.
And the ones that they bottle are really expensive. I mean, it's like four times the price for a bottle.
Well, and it's also like crushed beetles for red dye. And like you tell people that like it's all natural. It's crushed beetles. That just, no, that doesn't make it good. I'd rather have the chemicals at this point than the beetles. You know, and another thing, we sat down when we started doing cupcakes, and there's been, you know, a ton of talk about how cupcakes are over, or is the trend going to die? I mean, there's an article that comes out every 6 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about that today, because I was like, I'm a little over that.
Yeah,
debate.
I mean, every 6 weeks, somebody is like, do you guys seriously have nothing better to write about at this point? Come on.
I mean, because it's like saying, like, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
It's like saying sandwiches are over.
Or, like, you know, sliced pizzas over. You can't. Yeah. Oh man,
cookies are over.
Exactly.
I mean, the straight up why cupcakes are popular. I'm going to put this to rest right now. I don't know why no one has thought of this. Everyone loves cake. Mm-hmm. You get cake like on your birthday or someone else's birthday or a wedding or something. And that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
So you're looking at maybe like 0.005% of your year you're actually eating any cake, but you love cake. Cupcakes.
Or portable cakes.
You don't have to buy a whole cake. You don't have to, like, because if you go out and buy a cake because you're in the mood for cake, you know you're eating the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could, it's like the first guy who took a pizza and said, I'm going to cut this into slices and sell it in a...
By the slice.
Or the first person said, you know what? I'm not going to sell this roast beef. I'm going to make a sandwich out of it. And you can have, like, a steak. A hamburger is a steak on a bun. It's portable. Cupcakes are portable cake.
Wow,
that
you
is
are so
it.
Right.
It's just it's not going to go away. It's not a trend. It is a genre at this point. It's taking something that everyone likes and making it portable, making it something like you could have, you know, you could celebrate having a good day at work or buying a new purse or meeting a nice guy and have a little individual celebration. I mean, we can talk about all the psychology or the
retro. I always celebrate meeting a nice guy.
You do. You know, but they talk about these things, like they're looking so deep into it. Like, oh, it's about, you know, nostalgia or it's about, you know, feeling
kitty,
like your mom's house. It's like, no, it's just people like cake. It's delicious.
I feel like you should write for these blogs now.
I should.
And our cupcakes are... We take that one step further, and we try to make all sorts of desserts portable. Like we like our tiramisu,
the chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles.
You cannot walk down the street eating a chicken and waffles, but with us you can.
Sweet.
The Iona, which was the pear olive oil blue cheese.
It's like
cupcake.
A salad. Sort
it's
of.
Like kind of like or olive like a cheese plate. It just makes it. It's an individual serving. It's not that I don't know why nobody. They've been talking about this for like 12 years. Why hasn't anyone said that yet? That's why it is. You know, it's portion control. So when we decided to do cupcakes, they'd already talked about, like, okay, it's over. I don't feel that they're over. They ever will be over. Red Velvet, I kind of felt, was over. I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't want to see this again.
Now I don't either. Yeah. And it's a lot of stuff in your poisoning your body. I don't know.
It's
not even about that.
It's chocolate cake with red food coloring.
Eat chocolate cake with a cream cheese top. I mean, that's all it is.
All right, you guys are the best. I just need to know what you would make for yourselves on a nice date for either or. I don't know who's the alpha cook in the family.
Oh, we'd be going out.
Oh, you'd be going out.
Oh, we'd be going out. We cook for a living. I'm not...
Yeah, I hear about this a lot.
My kitchen is like...
The chef dilemma.
My kitchen's like 1 foot by 1 foot. You know, it's terrible. And, I mean, when we get to eat out, we can't...
Well, the one thing I made for you when we were dating that... I made you 7-layer dip.
Yes, we're comfort food people.
And I made her crunk messieurs on pretzel croissants.
Oh.
And Matt wants me to make gravy.
Every day.
Every day. I haven't made gravy for you that many times. Gravy
once.
For us is like is brujol and the meatballs and the sauce.
I just want
the
meatballs
and the tomato
and sauce. I'm not saying, hey, go out.
We go
and
to
like...
my mother's house. My mother makes gravy. I'm not making gravy for two people. That's ridiculous. I'm not waking up at 7 o'clock in the morning to make you gravy.
You're not waking up at 7 o'clock
you
in the morning anyway.
You should put gravy in the fridge and, you know, those ice cube trays so you have an individual portion of gravy every day.
My grandmother used to do. My grandma, when I went to college, I used to complain about the food at Boston University, and I came home and she made little portions of gravy in these little things. So I would
so,
put
I
gravy
mean,
in my
we'll
dorm.
Go out to like an Italian restaurant, like a red sauce joint, and I'll order like whatever, but I always have to get a side order of meatballs because she won't make them for me.
They take me forever. I mean,
the reason that we go to that place that's Swedish and sells really, really weird furniture, I'm not going to mention the name, but we go there to get meatballs.
No, because
and
the kids want to go there every day.
But the one thing that
it's
amazes
like
me that they
like
use their
gym.
They have yeah. they sell penne with pasta with tomato sauce.
Oh, it's terrible.
But they use the same meatballs.
It's horrible.
It's like Swedish wow, it's international in my mouth right now.
That
it's,
sounds like a fun date meal. Go to the IKEA and get yourself some meatballs on penne.
Our kids make us do it like every couple of weeks because they can play in the toy section. So we're like, okay, cool. Fine, and we can have a dinner out with the kids and like. If
it
Toby
costs
rubs,
$11.
Well, yeah, but when Toby rubs macaroni and cheese in his hair, I don't really feel awesome. As bad in the IKEA as I do at like
he
a
gave
nice
himself
restaurant.
Like. A gelled okay. up faux hawk with
yeah, he had,
with
it was
mac
a cheese
and cheese.
Faux hawk. It was hilarious. But you don't care about that at IKEA. It's like, okay, Atticus just put lingonberries down his pants and ran across the cafeteria. That's fine. I don't care. I'm at IKEA. Seriously, take off those pants. Who gives a crap?
Oh, man. I really want to go to IKEA now. All right, guys. I'm sorry that this is like just about as much time as we have.
Oh, well, we had a great time, and thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for sharing your fabulous and inspiring story. I really, really appreciate it, and I hope that everyone gets to enjoy the fruits of your labor, the wonderful cupcakes, very soon.
Okay, and make sure you guys follow us on Twitter, on Robicellis, because that is the one thing I update regularly.
Week?
I don't know what this week is. I'm just trying to survive this week. But yeah, make sure you follow our Twitter feed because that's like pretty much the only thing I update really regularly because it's in my pocket. And we have something very exciting coming up on Wednesday, which will be announced on Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
So keep
I'll
your
have
eyes
to look
peeled.
Out for that. And yeah. If you want to win Matt and Allison's cupcake class, check out justfood.org for the silent auction gifts. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and this is Let's Eat In. See you next week.